Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. This program is part of World War One on the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.
At 5 o'clock, a gun from the Victory in the harbour was the signal for an outburst of saluting. Every vessel was enshrouded in wreaths of smoke, and it was at this moment that the airships appeared from over the land.
The 19th of July. The British Navy gathers at Portsmouth for review by the King. 11 lines of warships, including 60 battleships, 4 battlecruisers, 26 armoured cruisers, and a host of destroyers, mine layers, or submarines. It's the biggest navy in the world. The new airships and seaplanes draw much comment.
They speak the message, Britannia, rule the air, or you will cease to rule the waves.
The Royal Navy is what makes Britain the world's greatest power. It protects the Empire and British trade, and keeps the British Isles themselves safe from invasion. The journalist is suitably patriotic.
It was a spectacle such as no man living has ever seen before. From end to end of the visible waters stretched the great procession of men of war, all the latest ideas in killing, and all the old ones that still have some power to slay, all that in the hour of need would put out to sea to defend the flag.
Three weeks after the assassination in Sarajevo, Austria-Hungary's ministers gather in Vienna at 10 in the morning. Their meeting takes place in utmost secrecy. They have to take the final decision on the ultimatum to Serbia. Among the demands, the banning of Serbian nationalist organizations, the removal of their members from the government, and the arrest of those who helped Franz Ferdinand's killers. Perhaps the most humiliating demand of all, that representatives of Austria-Hungary be allowed to work inside Serbia to root out its enemies. The council is unanimous and confirms the ultimatum. As usual, the Hungarian premier, István Tisza, is the only one to raise awkward questions. The fate of Serbia once they defeat it, for example. And Tisza asks, what is Russia going to do?
I am firmly convinced that Russia would resist to the limit if we were to insist upon the complete annihilation of Serbia. I believe that the best card we hold for improving our international situation is to declare to the powers as early as possible that we have no intention of annexing any territory whatever.
At that moment in St. Petersburg, Tisza's fears are being realized. Tsar Nicholas receives a secret memorandum from his foreign office. The Russians now have a pretty good idea of the contents of the ultimatum. The Tsar, who still hopes to maintain the peace, is moved to write in the margin.
In my opinion, a state should not present any sort of demands to another, unless, of course, it is bent on war.
His reaction shows that the crisis is about to deepen.
Explore World War One on the BBC through our in-depth, interactive online content. Curated by experts and reporters including Ian McMillan, Kate Adey and Frank Gardner, each guide blends documentary, discussion and short films to take you through some of the key issues, from life in the trenches to poetry, propaganda and the role of women. To discover compelling new perspectives on the war that changed everything, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.